Hey, everybody, welcome back to my show, Voices of Courage Unite. Today, I'm your host, Brandy J, and today I have with me well overdue guest. So excited to have him here. His name is Dennis Sumlin, and he is a men's confidence coach. And Dennis, thank you for joining me. How are you?
I am doing great at the moment. I'm glad to be here.
Amen to that. So, how are things going? How are you feeling in the end of 2020?
How am I feeling at the end of 2020? Wow, that's a loaded question, right?
I know, right?
Well, one thing I got to just say, in 2020, wow.
Oh, right. That's how I answer it. Like, wow.
Wow. It's wow because it's one of those things where there's a lot of craziness going on, catastrophic things going on, but at the same time, there's a lot of good things in my life that has happened. So it's one of those, well, what do you think about that? It's a very mixed year.
Yeah, yeah. So much still to be grateful for, but so much, like everything you just said, pain, loss, chaos.
Pain, loss, chaos, fear, anxiety, but then... You know, you see friendship and you see love and you see dedication. You see, you know, beautiful gestures. You see support. So you just, you know, take the good with the bad.
Yes, yes, very much so. So with the, you know, this going on and what you do, I know that there has been so much between dealing with relationships with men and women, especially when they're living in it, like literally, like during lockdown or just having to just look at that person, whoever they're with, when this hit the fan, it's kind of like, that's who you're with. And have you had to, let me ask you, so doing this, you've obviously had to be like over like Zoom and all that stuff, what you do, right?
Well, yeah, now it's on Zoom. But even before this, you know, a lot of times you can coach on the phone or on Zoom. It's not necessarily it's not necessary to actually have someone sitting in front of you. When I coach people here locally, I've had them, you know, come to my offices. But then, you know, I coach men from any part of the country. So, you know, welcome Zoom, welcome phone, you know. So.
Okay. There you go. Well, have you been up against or not up against, but dealing with relationships as far as not even pertaining to 2020, but in general, the dynamics between the man and the woman and how for you, before I was even born, how the confusion and the lack of communication, it just always seems like it's negative versus the positive in it.
You know, you know what it is. It's, you know, it gets into the weeds here. You know, we've been taught by society that everyone fits into a box. Like men are supposed to fit into this one box, women fit into another box, and you can't step out of that box. We've really gotten into this, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and there's some truth to, we are different in many ways, but I think a lot of people, and you talk about the past, we've been conditioned by the past at times to fit into these narrow, narrow boxes. And also just a lot of people just aren't good communicators in general.
That's true. Because I guess when you communicate, some people think communication, if they're communicating, then that's good. They're communicating, but there's a healthy way to communicate, right?
It's absolutely healthy way of communicating. And we need to destigmatize different forms of communication, you know, because so, for example, one of these boxes is so that, you know, when men don't talk about their feelings, because talking about your feelings means you're supposed to be weepy, and that's not really the case, but that's the stereotype out there. You know, women talk, men do. So then men end up holding their feelings back, and then it's always going to come out. So they're going to take it out on the workaholic, alcoholic, sexaholic, anxiety. There's all kinds of things that come from not dealing with any negative feelings you have that you're trying to hold back because, you know, you think it's not cool to express it. There's ways of expressing things that aren't womanly that will still help you.
Okay. So what would you tell a man, you know, that is struggling with this? how would you help him to get to a place where he can communicate his thoughts and feelings in a healthy manner, with but also having her feelings in regard?
Well, first, it would be good to understand where your feelings are coming from. Like, if you have some animosity or anger towards your woman, and instead of just lashing out and putting and projecting it onto her, figure out what's going on inside of you. So take some quiet time and talk. If you need to write it out, on a piece of paper, no one has to see it. So just take some time to get really clear on why you're angry. Why are you upset? What's the real issue under your anger? So it's good for you to understand it before you could really explain it to your partner. Because if you don't know what you're talking about, then how are you supposed to tell your partner? So the first step is to really understand why that thing made you angry. Why, when she said that, it pissed you off. What's underneath that?
Okay. I like that. Okay. So I know also, like, with men, they have this, the pride, and they don't want to come across, because they want to, stay as a man. Some see that as weak. I don't. I see it as very, I see it as a current, like, strong to be able to be comfortable to talk and not worry about everybody else. Because I think that's a lot. People worry about what other people are going to think. And it's like, that's crazy. Everybody has problems,
Well, I think another issue is going on here is that sometimes that men think that if they talk about something that's very deep and personal or very vulnerable for them, that it's going to be used against them. Maybe not by the guy next door, but maybe by their partner, maybe by their woman. They're afraid, well, maybe if I say this to her, she might use this against me, or she might see me as weak. That's also what goes through some men's minds. Like, I don't want to share feelings and then have it used against me, because we're not cultured to share our feelings. So if we actually get to that point, we are cautious about it. And so yeah. I think that the woman needs to understand that for a man, sharing deep, vulnerable feelings and expressing what's under the anger is a big step for a lot of men, and for her to be conscious of that and not force him to talk, not ridicule him for what he says, not lash out and turn it around on him, because it probably took a whole lot for him to say a little bit. So it's good for her to respect that.
Yeah. So basically needing a safe place, knowing that he's safe when he is ready to talk.
Yes, you please do not force a man to talk. You cannot drag his feelings out of him, because that's just going to piss him off more. you're on a, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong, honey? He's like, not now. But what's wrong? Like, because, women, they kind of want to know things right away. They're engaging. Y'all are engaging. You want to share the emotions. You want to engage the emotions. But a man needs more time to process it. So if you want a man to be open to you, give him time to process it himself before he engages it. And then don't just lash out and fight with him. Listen to what he's got to say and engage it that way. You can't drag it out of him.
Yeah, very true. Dealing with a man and a woman when they have a child together, and there's this thing to where I think, and also some others feel, that society has created this reality for us when it comes to a man and how they take care of their children. And I also feel this way, that women run to the system really fast before even dealing with, each other first, and then next thing you know, he is kind of forcibly being pressured, I guess, to pay child support. And there's that anger behind it. I feel like they weren't there when you lay down together. So why is that your outlet immediately before allowing him to do what he needs to do, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it does. And that does unfortunately happen. I think that when people are in a dispute with each other, they use the power they have. You know, men, you know, they said we have the physical power, you know, we're not supposed to hit women and stuff, but women use emotional power and legal power because that's the power that they have in society. And so that happens. And also, even sometimes before the system gets involved, let's be honest, sometimes women use a child against a man. Like, if you don't pay me this amount of money, you're not going to see your child. Or if you don't do what I want you to do, you're not going to see your child. And that, you do that to a man. And, you know, the way we use terms like, oh, you're not going to see my child. Like, it's not your child. It's both of yours child. But when you start using terms like my child and just little language like that kind of disowns him from his fatherhood. So you don't use children against your man. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, that was another one of two. Like, because that's hurting him, but you're hurting your child for the most part.
You're hurting your child. Your child knows what's going on. Don't think that because your child is 5 or 6 and you think they're sleeping when you're on the phone arguing, they're not. Don't think that they don't know what's going on when they're with daddy one day and mommy the other, or they saw daddy last week, but they don't get to see him for the next month. Don't think that they don't know what's going on. They may not know specifics because they're still a child, but they feel the energy. They know there's a dispute. They're not always sleeping when you're arguing at night. They know. They're not dumb. So just watch. Think about what this is doing to your children.
Yeah, yeah. So it's safe to say that to be able to understand why there is the anger when it comes to for a man behind that whole situation with child support, because feeling like somebody is forcing you to do something, no one likes that, and then for your own child at that. I understand that sometimes you have to do what you have to do, you know, because I don't use them. I feel like I can work it out with you, because I mean, they didn't lay down with you. I, you know, we should be able to do this together, and life happens, and you might not be able to pay. If you can work it out together, I feel like just because you're not together, that doesn't automatically mean go run in child support. So I can understand the anger, I guess, that is understandable, right?
Well, yes, because I think sometimes when couples get into these disputes, unfortunately, you know, they both love the child, but the child kind of gets lost. It's all about what he did and the girl he slept with and who I saw her with, and she fucked my man's best friend. Like, and the child gets lost in all of this stuff. And you know, if couples who can't be together would focus on the child and what is good for the child, and really try, they don't have to like each other. They don't have to talk unless it's about the child. Turn it into like a thing where you talk about the child, you have scheduled conversations, whatever you got to do if you really don't like each other. But think about the well-being of the child.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've seen before, like the child, it'll influence the child. And as they get older, they become disrespectful or have that same outlook when it comes to their very own, you know, father or men in general.
Yeah. And don't talk about your child's parent to your child. Like, you know, I don't like when your father does this and your father's a bum or your mother's a bitch. Like, what? Don't feed, even if you think that, even if you swear by it, don't feed that to your child.
Right. Yep. Totally, totally agree. So before, most people say, before we even get to that part, you know, where you're having a child and, you know, and dealing with all this in the beginning, when man and woman courts, you know, they don't do it like they used to, you know, when people would date, you go meet their family, you go actually knock on the door, you know, dad holds his gun, second plan.
Hey, you better come back with my daughter. I got my eye on you.
That is completely like this new generation, they have no idea what that's about. It's like, get on social media and that's how everything's done. It's not about meeting. I wouldn't know who, you know, I wouldn't have minded that type of, you know, come meet, you know, where did that get, was it social media that did it? Where did that get lost?
I think I think that we're living in a microwave culture. We want everything now. I also think it is the decline of certain kinds of social morals that used to be dominant in the culture. And because the social moral structure has changed, we can get into that and if it's good or bad overall. But the point is, it has changed. And so the messages that we get are more free and libertine rather than, you know, let's take our time and get to know each other. Now it's more like, oh, well, you can do whatever you want to do and everything is all good. And as long as it's consensual, it's wonderful. And so there's good and bad parts to that. But there's no question that the culture has changed and it's sending different messages out now.
Yeah, that's very true. Now people would laugh at something like that. Get your family's house. Get to know your father, your family. What's that?
Yeah, get to know your father. I got to date you for how long? We got to wait 7-8 months before we have sex? Like, what is the world is that? You know, people understand that now.
Right? And then you get them hot mess later down the road, and you're like, yeah, see? See how that...
Well, see, what happens now is that we have sex first and ask questions later. And that's unfortunately how a lot of relationships start, you know, and it really isn't good to start that way. Cause see, what happens is, you know, we either get into a relationship right away on the rebound, or we get into a relationship because the person is sexy or something and we have sex with them and we get wrapped up into that. And then 2 years later, we wonder, how did I end up with this chick? Like, I don't like you. How did I end up with you? That's because 2 years ago you was thinking more with the other head. Like, so we have sex first and ask questions later, and that's unfortunate.
Yep. And you think insanity, repeating, you know, expecting different results and the same thing over and over again. You're like, yeah, this isn't working, but yet we still keep trying at the same thing, thinking it's going to be different.
Well, yeah, I think now, you know, and I know I probably sound like some old funny duddy, like, just get your hands off my daughter. You got to wait 2 years before you kiss her. No, that's not how I am. I believe adults can have sex, consensual sex, in whatever arrangement that aligns with them. But I think that you should be clear on the kind of relationship you want to have. So if you know you want a long-term relationship with a partner, you don't have to have sex the first night, because you want to get to know them outside the bedroom. You want to get to understand, do you want to wake up to this person? After you come, do you want to be around this person? Do you want to be around them when you're doing bad, when you lose your job, you know, when your grandfather dies? Do you want them to be next to you? Think of them more as a companion. So if you know you want a long-term relationship, you take a little bit of time. I'm not saying wait 8-9 months, but take a little bit of time to get to know them as a person, make sure their personality overlaps with yours and so forth, you know, things like that.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I think probably for men too, but I know for me, being a woman, we have a tendency when we do it that way to read into it. And you could be thinking the total opposite thing when you're together that way, that, oh, he really, you know, wants me and loves me. And he's thinking this is real good. This real drug.
Yeah.
Really good. And you've just found yourself like lost because you talk to, it's like self-talk. We have a whole conversation with ourselves and he was never a part of it.
Well, that's true. But I think that goes back to knowing what you want. What do you want out of this relationship with this man? And be clear with yourself on what you want. And so once you're clear, if you want a one night stand, you're a grown woman, you know, I'm not going to tell you not to do it. But if you're looking for a relationship, or if you know you're the type that gets attached easy, think about what you're doing and what happens afterwards. And I think you probably know this, I think that a lot of women unfortunately have weak boundaries. So I think it would be good to strengthen your boundaries and say no when you really mean no, and not, well, he's a nice guy, he looks good, he probably gonna bring her, so all right.
I totally agree, because you save yourself from that,
yeah,
you know, that end result that you keep receiving. So yeah,
because because both, even though there are two people involved in a relationship, at least at minimum, even though it's two people, you're still responsible for yourself and he's responsible for himself. So don't count on him to look out for you. you know? And I think that's people get caught up in expecting your partner to like look out for you. Like, oh, you know, if you don't want to have sex because, you know, you get attached quickly, then don't do it. Don't wait for him to look out for you.
Right. Right. I expect it to be his responsibility that he accepted, you know, he followed, went through with it. Now it's like his problem, you know, because you didn't want to.
Yeah, I had sex with you. How could you possibly? Well, no. But he said, hey, we just had sex and you just attached a storyline to it. But you didn't tell me the storyline.
Yeah, very true. That lack of communication there. Yeah.
You got a storyline in your head when I'm just saying, hey, you look good. Let's have sex. But you didn't tell me your storyline that you're attaching to it.
Yeah, very much.
And so, then you want to get mad at me because you saw me with the girl down the block, but you never told me what your storyline was.
Yeah. Yeah. I also know that that sometimes men are not willing or comfortable with communication, you know, actually they run, you know, as soon as you want to talk about something or feel a certain way. And I think that that's a big thing too, where for instance, if that person is not willing to talk to me about anything else but sexual, you know, manners and not anything else with between human beings in general, then that should be a clear sign that he's not interested in you as a person. He's accepting these things because you sexually are appealing to him.
You know, and, you know, men have a lot of fears too. That men sometimes, you know, again, we talked about earlier that men don't really want to feel like they're vulnerable. And maybe the men who are just looking for sex, maybe they've had bad relationships in the past. Maybe they've had some scarrings from, you know, their young childhood or whatever it is. And so, you know, they have whatever too, but that's not your responsibility. So if you see that all they are is about sex, and when you try to connect to something deeper, it ain't working, then decide, what are you going to do with this relationship? What do you want out of it? Do you want just sex, or do you want something more? And if you want something more, is he it?
Yeah, very true. Man, how do we get to that place? What how does one get to that place? Like, because it's we seem to talk about it, and the very people that are dealing with it or have dealt with it will talk about it, but it's still just not a place of understanding. It's more about them versus them and not us. How could we be as people? You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to literally be the man and woman that's trying to come together, but you can be a man and a woman, or men and women that's talking about this together. If that makes sense.
So you're asking about how can men and women sit down and have a civilized conversation about relationships? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, relationships, how to communicate better. Because, you know, because everything's, you know, like a relationship. You have friends, you have, you know, family and all that. But when it just like around, across the board with men and women being able to come together and have these discussions without feeling like they're on a different team, or they get to a place, because the end result, well, I guess it keeps going on, is that generations keep going, you have children, and then they'll carry on the very thing that they have learned, you know, and that'd be their way. I think also too, how we've stemmed away from how, you know, how things used to be, like those morals and you know, and all that. And then it just keeps going and going, and that doesn't even exist anymore. And so you want to like break that chain so you could, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's a very complex problem because we're so deep in now with this stuff. It's a very complex problem. It goes to the morals we were talking about before. It goes to the education system, because a lot of these things have been encoded in us for decades. And like you said, the parents pass it down to the kids, who pass it down to the kids, who pass, you know, so, and the culture reinforces these things. So it does, an element of it does require some educational reform and some reassessment of our morals so we can get back to a unified message. And the unified message doesn't have to be the old message, but it needs to be a unified message. And then it gets down to individuals really committing themselves to working on the key thing, which is communication. And also I would say destigmatization, because there's so many things that we've been taught to be ashamed of. And most of those things aren't anything to be ashamed of at all. It could be from anything from being vulnerable to talking about sexual issues. Some people don't want to talk about sex. Some people are the opposite. Or maybe something in your past that's affecting you today in your relationship. So we need to figure out a way of getting people really up on their communication skills. And yeah, but it's a complex problem. I don't have all the answers.
Hey, you got some that, you know, that's helpful, because we need to be able to, like, I look at the youth and they're way gone. They have no clue what's going on. And it's just like the worse it gets, they don't know how to really function amongst one another. Even a situation where, you know, I work a lot, and, you know, and it's sometimes it's hard to explain, like, say, for instance, if a girl, a woman or a girl puts hands on him and he sees it as, well, if she hit me, I could hit her back. And it's not that simple. You know, it's really not that simple. You're like, yeah, nobody should be put. You can't treat the situation as if it was another guy. You know what I mean? That hits you, because this is because of society and the fact that she's a woman. How do you make that make sense to a younger person?
Well, I think, see, this is one of them areas. I love this is one of those deep cultural areas we've been conditioned to. I think that we need to, and I just said this, we need a unified message. So if we have all these campaigns that say men should not hit women, we need to have the same campaigns about when women should not hit men. I think that the way that we get back to consistent morals is to be consistent. Recognize that a man may fight back when he's attacked. That's something that sometimes you can cut that off and you know, I can't hit a woman, but sometimes depending on what she does to him, it's primal. What if she just socks him in the face? Like, right, some of that exactly. Stuff could be a reflex. Like, you just come up to me and just punch me in my face, I'm a main reflex and knock you out. Like, you can't expect every man to be like some monk in a monastery and just kind of sit there. So I think we need a unified message to say men don't hit women. That's not the right answer. Women don't hit men. That's not the right answer. You know, men don't abuse women verbally. That's not the right answer. Women don't use your kids against men. That's not the right answer. And I think that there isn't the same pressure on women to act a certain way when it comes to disputes than there is for the man. And I think men see it as, women get the pass and men are blamed for everything, whether they're right or wrong.
Yep, they surely do. I've heard somebody actually say that.
It's true.
And actually embrace it and they believe it.
I think in some instances it looks that way, where men are blamed when they're wrong, but men are also blamed when they're not wrong. And women are given sympathy when they're right, but women are also believed when they're lying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fair. That's one of those things where it's just not fair. Someone was telling my child the other day, they were like, if you hit her back, if you do, either way it goes, you'll be the one that's going.
Exactly. So men have more to lose. If a man hits a woman, he has more to lose than if she beats the hell out of him. She could kick his ass, but yet if he smacks her once in self-defense, he has more to lose.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the struggle, like, because, you know, especially if you're talking to a youth or a kid, you know what I mean? Because all they see is, well, she put her hands. And I can totally understand it, but it's like they're not, you know, old enough to really get where, you know, where that comes from. But you want us to deliver to them that no one has the right, though. You don't have to take it, because there's, you know, men that have been abused, you know, absolutely. As much as how men abuse women have been that the person that's been abused in a relationship.
Exactly. And a lot of people, and I've interviewed a couple of men on my podcast that's been abused by the woman, and the man ends up in jail. And, you know, and, you know, sometimes when the man, you know, the woman beats up the man, the cops are called, the cops are standing there laughing at the man. Like, come on, you're a dude. You let her beat you up. Like, you're calling the cops. Like, what? You're nuts, dude. You know, that's a concept that people can't understand, how a man can get raped, can get abused. That's a concept that a lot of people just can't grasp, but it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's understandable why it's kind of hard, but at the same time, it's not right and it's not okay. And so we put that, you know, keep that in mind, that abuse is abuse and no one deserves it, then not understanding it shouldn't mean that you don't give it the same attention or concern.
A lot of men are walking around abused and they're not going to tell you that, even if they're dating you, because the stigma for being, for a man to be raped or abused or beaten up, like in a consistent manner, it's a deep shame. It's a deep scar to their sense of masculinity. So they may not tell you, but they're walking around abused.
Yeah. I see this show one time. It was a reality show. And it disturbed me and still bothers me, because what he did was very wrong. And it was a coach there. And what the woman did, you could tell they had like these type of issues, but she took an apple and threw it at his head. He was sitting down and she threw it hard. It missed him. You know what I mean? But I was thinking like, that would have hurt. And he was upset. He carried that until later on that day. And when it wasn't addressed, when she made it seem like it was all about how he treats her and she never touched on that part there, he got up and he put his hand right there and put his hands on her. And it was awful what he did too. But the whole time, as bad as that was, and it was bad, no one ever went back to address what she did as far as throwing that. And I think that's what made him mad, throwing that apple at his head. No one at all, because he put his hands around her neck, but no one at all went back to address her about her behavior and what she did to him. Mm-hmm. And that sat with me. I said, see, what when are they going to address the fact that she basically threw something at his head?
They never will. You know? They probably never will.
Yeah, giving out a very bad message to other you know, young girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I and anytime. And here's something. A lot of times when men talk about these issues, they're labeled as angry. When men ask for fairness, how come, you know, why isn't that, you know, how come women can hit but men can't? How come women, you're angry. You know, why are you hate women? Like anytime a man brings up anything associated with men's rights or men's fairness, they're labeled as, oh, you're a misogynist, or you hate women, or you can't get laid, or something dumb like that. And so men are not listened to when they bring forth certain concerns.
Yeah. Wow. That's the dynamics. I tell you, because you have that same thing with when you talk about the whole feminist thing. And it's like, we both have these, like you said, having to be fit into this box, but you know, not too much different. Like it's crazy how a separate society will make it, and both, and one will feel like the other one is less than, or they're more important. And it's just like, how about we just can't respect one another as human beings that have feelings, emotions, and the same things, but just not the same parts, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, it definitely is crazy. And I think part of that is, you know, men aren't supposed to show weakness. And, you know, part of that is, you know, part of those boxes we spoke about earlier. But the only way we're going to improve that is first of all, it starts with the individual. So if you have children, you teach them these kinds of things we're talking about here. Okay. And then they're going to pass that on, you know? So it really starts, because your child is going to grow up to be the next teacher or the next politician or the next whoever. And so if we all start one by one in our own homes to instill the morals that we believe in and the communication skills that we believe in, because the schools ain't gonna do it, nope. You know, and the TV ain't gonna do it, and Netflix ain't gonna do it, and Facebook ain't gonna do it. So we need to take our personal responsibility and our family responsibility and teach them these things.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So Dennis, for what you do when you work with men, and do you find that whatever it is that they're dealing with stems from like their past or like in childhood, whatever their obstacles, or what they're trying to get through now?
There's several combinations. There are men who have childhood abuse or childhood stigmas or childhood some type of disruption, lack of a father figure. There are those men that have that still struggle with that. There are also men, as we've been talking about most of the show, that have been through abusive relationships with women or, you know, whoever, and So they're still trying to learn how to cope with that. And of course, that causes trust issues. A lot of men have trust issues with women. A lot of men feel like they have communication blocks with women. A lot of men feel like women are never satisfied. No matter what you do, they're never satisfied. So there's a lot of men that have, you know, a lot of relationship, you know, ups and downs that they're, that they've dealt with. And so those are the, those are probably the two main categories is, and they fuel everything else. Like, you know, people who end up alcoholics, it's because they're holding their scars inside. You're a workaholic because you're looking for an escape. You know, you are a sexaholic because that's the only way you know how to relate because you're scarred in other ways. So yeah. Childhood trauma, abuse, relationship trauma, these things feed into all of these behaviors.
Yeah, most definitely. And it could lead one to, it can block, I would say maybe good things that may be in front of them because can't really let it go. So you see each woman or vice versa, you see each one as the same situation that you, that you're healing from. So you're like carrying your bags, I guess, you know? So like you're automatically, you put this on to like all women or this woman because what she dealt with. So she's her too, if that makes sense. Like she might be completely different and understand these things.
Yeah. She might be. And one thing I do like about what the culture is doing now is it is encouraging men to drop the shame around mental illness. Now, you know, this campaign has been going on in the Black community for a while about not being ashamed to seek therapy and take care of your mental health. And so I'm at least glad to see that the culture is pushing that because it's important to take care of your mental health, you know, because men, you know, we're all about physical. I want to be strong and, you know, big and tall and muscular. We want to take care of our physical body. We want to work out. We want to start eating healthy and stuff. But we also need to take care of our mind and our spirit. And so there is no shame in seeking mental help, to seek out a coach or a therapist or a counselor, because we are mind, body, and we're not just bodies. We're not just muscular bodies. We're not just, it's not like, it doesn't work that way. We have three systems within us, our mind, body, and spirit. And we need to be able to work with all three of those things.
Yep. Makes for good balance there. If one's off, then the rest of them are gonna be off.
Absolutely.
So definitely. Yeah. I appreciate that. You've even helped me to be able to find the correct words, you know, even though in agreement, but able to articulate more of what, you know, where I might be trying, what I might be trying to say or insinuate, you know, without being like, rawr. So yeah, because I truly do believe that we put a lot on men as if they don't have feelings because society, and it's not really our own thinking. It's what we have picked up in a lot of society. Teach us, or where we grew up in. We got to break somewhere.
Men have a lot on their shoulders, and it's kind of like we expect men to take it all on their shoulders. We expect men to take it all and suck it up because we're a man. You know, if you crack, then you're that's weak. A man is supposed to take everything on their shoulders, and men are disposable, which is why they send men off to war because they're disposable. You know, there's a whole psychology around how men are treated that can be scarring towards men. And many of them will never say it because it's not manly to complain.
Right. Yep. Well, I am also too happy that, you know, especially within our culture, that they are going to be okay with receiving or seeking that help, you know, because I just asked somebody the other day, I said, why is it when it comes to Black families, as soon as you bring up therapy, you get, I don't know, therapy, you doing that. You don't do
ain't
that.
Nothing wrong with me. You know, it's the old stigma of you're crazy if there's something wrong in your head. Because we are a visual and material society. So if I see your disability, if I see you're in a wheelchair, if I see you're blind, I can see it. So then I know. Where, you know, some people have misconceptions of disabilities, but the point is, I see that it's in front of me. If it's in your head, I can't see it. So then it becomes unpredictable. It becomes murky. I don't know what you're going to do. You got mental problems. You may stab me out of nowhere. You might be crazy because I can't see it. So it's a difficult concept to understand what you're mentally ill. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And
it's not tangible. It's not physical. You can't really tell. And then is it still, you're crazy. If you don't have control of your faculties, you're just crazy.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just chemical imbalances, actually. Some of this mental illness is just chemical imbalances. Just like people can be born with physical imbalances, people are born with chemical imbalances.
Yep. And like you said before, what it takes is more like education, you know what I mean? And letting people know that it's okay. You're not like weird or like, especially in schools and with youth and stuff, like it's, maybe people be more comfortable like saying, okay, this is what's going on with me, you know, so they can get the help and the kids can treat each other, you know, more with more empathy because they understand. And it's not that something's wrong with you, because if no one's teaching them, then that's how they're going to, you know, take it too. And now, you know, it's just, nobody's teaching the life, the right things or at all whatsoever, even working in the education field. These are the things that I was up against. And it's like, you can't really put a child out into the world without these things that will help guide them, you know, navigate through life, you know, all of this diversity, mental health, and all that stuff. What point is the education if they aren't really going
to be able to? First of all, school doesn't teach you anything.
School doesn't teach you anything.
And there's always a battle between school and parents, because, you know, one side of the culture says that school should be able to teach kids all these different things about sex and morals and this and that. And there's another class that says, no, morals and sex and morals and stuff should be taught at home. But a lot of parents don't teach at home.
Yep.
So, but that model is not working. So a lot of parents don't teach at home because they're carrying their own scars and shame around sex and morality.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a mixture. There's boundaries. Like they said, it's a village. You work together, you know, because most of those kids were with us. We seen them more than they've seen us more than they were with their own families, like 6 to 6, you know, the programs and stuff. So some people think that schools should just stick to what they're supposed to do, just teaching. But that's not the case, because you're dealing with a whole human being here that has behaviors and all kinds of stuff. And to even be able to teach someone, they have to be able to receive it. And like you said, mind, body, and spirit. So I think it's healthy for families to be integrated very much so with schools, and then have those boundaries of what you are willing to let them teach at school, because kids do things at school.
And, you know what I mean? I think that's a good answer. But I also remember, because I've done work, I've mentored teens in the adoption system, and there's a lot of teens that don't have parents to be integrated with the school. There are people who go home to foster parents who really don't care about them. They just do it for the little piece of shit check they get. And there's a lot of kids who don't have a disciplinarian. There's a lot of kids who don't have anyone to tell them about manhood, womanhood, sex, morality, how to do this, what not to do. And so what do you do about that? Like, there is no school parent involvement because there's no parents.
Yeah. It's like a whole circle around the bubble. You got to cover all that. You have to fill in those gaps. In reality, you know that that's not really going to happen.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little bit more permissive with what the school should have, because I know that there are kids coming from different backgrounds. Not everybody is going to have their father to talk to about these issues, unfortunately. So we need to find a way. We also need more male mentors. Being a mentor myself, being around the mentoring system in the different world that it is, there's a lot more women mentors than there are male mentors. And that's always been a need for men to be able to join these organizations. You know, Big Brother, Big Sister, and a lot of other names that aren't as popular. Younger boys, because boys need to be around men, you know, not males, because they're around males all the time. They need to be around men.
Amen. That's the same thing. I said, just because you're male doesn't mean you should be, you know, that's a good match. But
that's right.
Yeah, I totally believe that, because I was a single mom raising a young man. and father being so far away, and he lost his uncle second year. That was the one that was in his life. I immediately felt the pain. You know, I knew that me being a woman, I know that I'll never, no matter what they say or try to tell women that, you know, we can be the father, mother and father, a young man. I can never teach him how to be a man. You know, I can help raise a great, you know, young man, but I cannot teach him how to be a man. And I just, it hurts me sometimes when I realize, like, what am I going to do? But knowing I have resources and I have to do what I have to do to make sure he gets that.
No, we definitely do need more moments. I didn't have any of that growing up. I didn't have, like, you know, during my teen years, I didn't really have like a strong man to be around. I had to kind of just wing it when I got on my own. I got on my own pretty young, and I just had to wing it. And so, you know, trial and error. And, you know, boys need a strong male influence, a positive strong male influence.
Yeah, yeah. Very good that you reiterated that, because some people just be like, they're the male. And you know, think about this. You know how women, and I don't know, I have a tendency, I'm trying to teach myself not to, I have these words I'm trying not to use anymore. And it's not, I don't mean harm by when I say idiot. Maybe I do. I need to work on that. But some stuff I don't understand. And it's like some women may think, okay, well, my son needs a male influence. So, you know, and you'll just because he's a man, you're trying to put this man in your child's life that apparently is not a positive male, but you're just saying that he's a male. I want to have a man in my life and in my child's life. And it's like, it's not even about you anymore. You know, you have to think about, you know, your child first when it comes to, you know, who you bring into their life to teach them, because if you bring that, then that's what you just brought in to teach him. I see it all the time.
You got to really watch, because children are at all. We think of children as kind of a monolith. Like if you're a child, you are at a certain intelligence level. No, children are all over the place. You can get the most impressionable child or the most strong-minded child. And so when you bring a man into your home that's not the child's father, someone he's not familiar with, and you want that man to be somebody, you have to have scrutiny, because you don't know what kind of man that is. And you may not know just how impressionable or non-impressionable the kid may be. Maybe even if it's your kid, you don't know what energy you're bringing in. So you need to have some scrutiny around the kind of male energy that you bring in. I would say, why not start with people, if you're able to, people in the family? Like, it doesn't have to be the father if the father is absent. What about, do you have any uncles? Do you have any brothers? Do you have any other male role models? Maybe you do need to see if there's like an after-school program or a mentoring program, if you really need to do that. That's cool. But just make sure it's a proactive effort to bring positive men in, not kind of a lazy effort to, oh yeah, he could play basketball with my son.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I like that. Okay. I like, you really have a, when I, you know, I want the listeners, I think this is helpful, healthy. You know, because I see the lack, the need, especially being around like children and then being a mother myself. I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, but it takes a village, and we have to be willing to not just talk about it, actually do the footwork.
Do that footwork. Be proactive. Don't just bring a man in because you've been dating him for the past couple weeks. You know, that's fine, but don't let him, he doesn't have to meet your child because you've been dating him for a month. You know, you can keep them away until you understand where that relationship's going. But also be proactive with introducing your son to other positive male role models. If the father's not there, you got to be proactive and seek out other positive men, or seek out other parents with even other teenagers. Because I think a young boy also should be around peers his own age as well. And so you can be proactive if you know other parents with boys and so forth. Be proactive and, you know, see where their kid is at. And would that be a positive influence?
Yeah. That's awesome. You really got a lot of stuff, like the wheels are turning in my head. So I want to use my platform for something that, you know, that could be of help, of use for others. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Very much. So would you like to, you know, while you're here, let our listeners know exactly what it is that you offer so that if anyone is in need, they can contact you and, you know, find any information, literature of any sort of what we've been talking about and more?
Sure. Well, I am, as I said, I am a men's coach, confidence coach. And so you can certainly get in touch with me. I deal mainly with confidence, communication, and sexuality. And so I coach men on general confidence, how to carry themselves and, you know, how to communicate with other people, how to, you know, build communication skills, get what they want, how to own their sexuality. So I coach everything around that. You can certainly look me up. My podcast is also available. It's a men's personal development podcast, and we talk a lot about some of these issues that we spoke about today. So if you want to talk to me, ask me any questions, you can email me at Dennis@coreconfidencelife.com. That's Dennis@coreconfidencelife.com. And of course, the website is coreconfidencelife.com. So, you know, reach out if you have any questions or you want to talk about the programs that I offer, just reach out.
All right. And I'll definitely have that in my show notes, in the show notes. And I, my website should be up and going soon. So I'll make sure I want to put, you know, certain people into my website that has these services. So you'll be there.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Definitely.
No problem. And I'm so excited that we finally, listeners, let me just tell you, I was supposed to get with Dennis in 2019. Was it 2019? Yeah, it was last year.
It was 2019, and you were supposed to come on my podcast and talk about bullying. Yes. And we had technical difficulties, you know.
Oh, man. You know, that never stopped, right?
Yeah, your phone issue never stopped. Like, I don't know, what was that? Like, whoa. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's my signature.
I believe everything happens when it's supposed to. So maybe we weren't supposed to be speaking on the podcast back then. Maybe for some from reasons we'll never know.
Yeah, that most definitely. But I do feel more confident, you know, this roundabout, you know. So I was more like, yeah, it's time now.
Maybe you need to get it to a certain experiential level. Maybe I needed to get somewhere mentally, you know, or wherever, or my experience level. Who knows? We won't know. But everything happens when it's supposed to.
Amen to that. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I would, you know, love to, and hey, and if you ever want me to come by, talk about that bullying, because I just started my campaign, like if somebody picked it up and is allowing me to, you know, show them what I can do. So you caught me at this time too, at the peak of my journey.
At the peak, at the summit, at the apex. But hey, maybe it's not a peak. Maybe it's just a landing. You have a higher peak to get to.
Hey, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, don't peek before you peek now.
Oh, man. This was awesome. I had a great time. And I'm so grateful that you made the time to come join us. And you're welcome anytime.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. This was really a good, deep conversation. And it's a really important conversation. And a lot of conversations that people don't have that need to be had more.
Yep. You said it. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in. This is the man right here, Dennis Sumlin. Okay. And thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye, everybody. Mm-hmm.